Welcome to PTI. We will get to the other sports news of the day later in this show, but we begin today with the uncertainty surrounding Buffalo Bills safety DeMar Hamlin, who suffered cardiac arrest last night early in the Buffalo-Cincinnati game and remains in a Cincinnati hospital in critical condition. Wilbon, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, Tony, I guess I have a range of thoughts that I don't know are very different than many of the thoughts we've heard over nearly, 20 hours now. But I go back to last night when I was watching television, watching the game live in live time, and sitting there with my wife and looking at the fear on the faces of players on both the Buffalo Bills and Cincinnati Bengals, and just thinking, I immediately thought this seems more serious than other times. And people have said, well, we've never seen an ambulance on the field. Yeah, we have. We've never seen players collapse and tended to. Yeah, we have. But the fear, the tears, the praying, the fear on their faces is what said to me, I'm not changing the channel. I'm staying with this because something's wrong here. And I'm certainly glad they didn't try to play again, Tony. And I will say this, when you hear the word unprecedented, and people have done an incredible job and on this network, I think about Ryan Clark listening to him last night. And he could have talked for another hour and I would have listened to every word he said. I would have consumed all of it. It's not unprecedented. I mean, you got to be older like us to remember. I think immediately of a gentleman named Chuck Hughes. He died on the field of play in Tiger Stadium, which the Detroit Lions used to play at. They were playing the Chicago Bears. I'm 13 years old, October 24, 1971. I'll never forget it. Tony, he was in the fourth quarter in the final minute of a game, which means it's about 4 o'clock Eastern. At 5:30, he was pronounced dead, had a cardiac event. Yeah. It might not have been identical, but it was similar. And this has happened. Hank gathers. This has happened. And it's tragic every time. And you identify with it every time. This person's family, this person, the risk they're taking. In football, it probably happens more frequently. But I'm thinking of all that today and hoping that he recovers as best he can.
Yeah. So I watched all morning long and early in the afternoon, I watched former football players talk about this, and I watched reporters talk about it, and I watched anchors talk about it, and I watched commentators talk about it. And I'm not going to say anything here smarter or more original than anything they said. Everybody who's in the National Football League, their body goes through stress in order to become a professional football player. Every one of them understands that they are one play away from a serious injury. But this is not like a torn ACL. It's not even like a concussion. It's far more serious than that. And you step back. When you see something like this happens, we instinctively know that it's a little bit different. I wondered if there was anything in his medical history that would have predicted an event like this. And I was talking to we all have friends who are doctors. You do too. And I was talking to my friend who's a doctor. And he said, you wouldn't know for something like this. This is a bang-bang event, electrocardiogram event, something like that. I mean, I don't even know the exact words he was talking about. But what he said to me was he thought they got to him so quickly and they handled the protocol so well and the Cincinnati hospital is so good that my friend believes he thinks there's a better chance for a good outcome than a bad outcome. To your point, we see tragedy in sports all the time. You and I have seen race car drivers killed before our eyes. That seems to be a sport where this happens, not all the time, but enough in our lives
too
that
often.
We fear it. We have seen, you and I have seen boxers killed in the ring. You and I have seen that. There was a baseball player who was killed, a pitch hit him in the head and he died. There was just recently a Danish soccer player,
yes,
I believe, had a cardiac event on the field,
Christian
came back
Erickson.
To play in the World Cup.
Christian Eriksen, yes.
Yeah, Chris Pronger of the St. Louis Blues took a puck in the chest, was unconscious, had one of these events, and played two games later. So we don't know what's going to happen, but it appears to be like a terrifying moment. And I'll just say this one other thing. The National Football League today came out and said, we're not going to replay that game this week. So this, to me, is an understanding that at some point, we have to talk about football, even if something absolutely tragic happens here. And you know, as I know, there are three or four guys in a room in the NFL that are sitting down today and they're saying, Should we resume this game? Should we replay this game? Should we decide on another outcome altogether and mandate what happens with this game? Because, Mike, the playoffs will be here in a week and a half.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, this is to the integrity of the playoffs, this game matters.
Tony, right? You know, to your point, to sort of put a period on this, we have doctors we talk to, and you know one of my friends, Dr. Jason Daniels in Scottsdale, who I consulted Jason. Everything, because he once picked up the phone and said to me on a phone call, you don't look good, your vitals don't look good, I'm on this network. Don't get on a plane. Don't do it. I don't like this. I got on a plane. I get off the plane. I have a heart attack. So I talked to him about everything. And I talked to him nonstop last night immediately. And so much of what is being reported now are things that he thought and told me in live time. Here's what I'm looking for. Here's what I'm looking at. Here's what I fear, hoping for the best. Because he deals with like a half dozen of these a year where you're like, oh, my God, you see this all the time. And in sports, you know, I was just talking to my brother today about how in sports, yes, the attention given to all lives are not equal. And this might happen. An assistant coach had something happen on some college game this year. And it could happen to a fan in the stands. It could happen anywhere. But when it happens like this and you realize the risk, particularly in football, but other sports, like you mentioned, auto racing, the risk that people take to do things they love. That's right. That resonates, I think, with all of us as we watch and celebrate. And we're going to watch football again. We're all going to watch it.
Yep.
And we cringed last night, and I hope we don't have to cringe again anytime soon. But this is the intrusion of real life.
Yeah, it's inherent in the sport itself. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back after this.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's move to other headlines, starting with the NBA, where we had no fewer than five compelling storylines last night. Donovan Mitchell scored 71 in an overtime win over the Bulls. Klay Thompson scored 54 in regulation in a Warriors home win over the Hawks. LeBron scored 40-plus for a second straight game as the Lakers beat the Hornets. Zion left the Pelicans' loss to the Sixers with a right hamstring strain, and the Nets crushed the Spurs for their 12th straight win. Wilbon, which is the most significant headline to you?
Strangely enough, Tony, the most significant, not the most spectacular. The most spectacular is Donovan Mitchell going for 71. It's like the highest scoring game in, I don't know, 16 years, something like that, maybe more than that. But Zion was creeping into the MVP discussion. I mean, it's led by Luka and Jason Tatum and, you know, whoever else you want to mention. We know the Kevin Durant, who won again last night. But Zion, Tony, the Pelicans with Zion playing like he had 10 of 12 shots last night. And so if Zion has to miss any real time, that sort of changes. I don't want to say it diminishes because they're pretty good. They're deep, the New Orleans Pelicans. But I thought Zion, I mean, Donovan Mitchell, my goodness. I mean, look, Cleveland's a real threat. And they got a chance. I know they're going to have some heartbreak first before they sort of threaten to win it all. And then LeBron. I mean, LeBron's playing at the level that no one, not even Tom Brady. I know Tom Brady's won something in his 40s, and LeBron's not yet 40. But at this age, Tony, what LeBron's doing is insane, the games he's having. But I'm gonna still say Zion. I don't want to see Zion. I want to see Zion healthy and playing, and we're not there consistently enough
yet. I'm going to go to the legal pad. I'm going to go to notes. I'm eliminating Donovan Mitchell right away.
Okay.
Even though what he did, scoring or assisting on 99 points, is spectacular.
Wilt.
But everybody knows that Kobe had 81.
Right.
And everybody knows that Wilt had 100. And Wilt and David Thompson and Wilt again had 73.
Yeah.
And Wilt had 72.
Yeah.
And then David Robinson and Elgin Baylor had 71. Now, if I'm going to eliminate Donovan Mitchell, I'm going to eliminate Klay Thompson because he had 60 a few years back, so we're going to eliminate him. I'm eliminating Zion because there's no break. There's no need for surgery.
Okay.
It's a hamstring problem, and I don't think it's critical.
Right.
So that leaves us with LeBron and the Nets. Every day on this show, LeBron and the Nets. LeBron or the Nets. LeBron and the Nets. LeBron is doing something great at 38 years old. Has anybody ever done that before?
No.
Funny you should ask. Michael Jordan has. No, Michael Jordan has, and they belong in the same company.
But the answer
to the question is the Nets, because it's 12 in a row and 16 out of 17, and a month ago they were in disarray, and they fired their coach, and they looked like the Titanic after the iceberg, and now they look like the Titanic before the iceberg.
Klay Thompson, by the way.
So it's the Nets.
Let's not shortchange Klay Thompson.
He got 60 already.
I know, but to get back to this point where he's Klay Thompson like this.
The answer is the Nets.
Big deal.
The answer is the Nets.
No, it's not the Nets. It's a good answer. There's a lot of good stuff last night. College football playoffs, Tony. You and I went crazy in live time on the phone like we were little kids talking about these games. TCU and Georgia are going to square off Monday night for the actual championship. TCU was the biggest surprise, I guess, upsetting Michigan in that epic. And Georgia prevailed only when Ohio State's game-winning field goal attempt at the gun sailed wide left. So given what we saw in those semifinals, do you give TCU an actual chance against the defending champs? How about them dogs?
Yeah, so let me say this. That I understand that Georgia is the defending champion. Georgia is a great team. I mean, I get that. Okay, Georgia also gave up 41 points to Ohio State. That's a lot of points for a team built on defense. TCU came literally within 1 foot of getting a touchdown in overtime, which would have beaten Kansas State, which would have made them 14-0 right now, exactly the same as Georgia. Mike, I was stunned to read that the opening line on this game, that Georgia was a 13.5 point favorite. I'm the guy who said I thought Max Duggan should win the Heisman Trophy. So do I give them a chance? I don't want to go crazy, but I give them a 25 or 30% chance. Let me just say one other thing, and that is those games, those two playoff games,
as good as you get,
Michigan and TCU and Ohio State and Georgia,
can't get better.
Were sensational. That's the best back-to-back college I have ever seen in my life.
Here.
Every third play, a guy was going 80 yards for a touchdown.
And the committee wants
those
to ruin it.
Those games were great.
They want to ruin it by
and
increasing
Michigan,
the field.
I understand. Michigan left 21 points on the one. On the one. If they'd gotten any one of those touchdowns, they would have won.
When you called me and said you won't believe what the line is on the championship game. Go ahead. Guess. I'm always trashing the line to you. Not the line, but the discussion
of it.
And what did I tell you I thought the line would be? 13.
12 and a half, 13. I'm surprised.
So I'm not surprised at that. Those games were as great as it gets. Why college football would want to ruin that by trying to go to a 28-team playoff? I know it's not 28 teams. And they're going to kill it. Everybody's greedy. Everybody thinks more is better. No, what you've got isn't just better, it's perfect. So why mess around with it, Tony? Don't do anything with it. Does TCU have a chance? Not really. I mean, it's sort of like North Carolina State had a chance in 1983 against Houston. Oh, wait.
How'd they do?
He actually was hugging people, Coach Jim Valvano, your dear friend.
Yeah.
I don't see them having much of a chance, Tone. I really don't. I'd like it. I want it to happen.
Those two games
fabulous.
Were just great.
Yeah.
And I think the TCU getting in lets the committee say, you see, we're more than just
good
the Big
them.
Ten
I'm
and the
happy
SEC.
For TCU. Happy
we're
to
more. Let's move on. We had a college football bowl worth talking about last night. Tulane scored 16 points in the final 4 minutes to win the Cotton Bowl over a USC team that just a few weeks ago was on the brink of the playoffs. Wilbon, does the Trojans' loss diminish what Coach Lincoln Riley and Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Caleb Williams Gonzaga High School accomplished this season?
Well, they can't reduce Caleb Williams. He only threw about 40 touchdown passes in the last two games, and they lost. So it doesn't reduce him because his number's 13, not 53. He's not out there to stop somebody because none of his friends and teammates have done that, whether it's the two games against Utah or this game. I mean, look, I'm not going to make any jokes. I mean, Caleb Williams in our house is a big deal because there's a kid who goes to Gonzaga now who lives in my house. So you know who we root for. You know who we rooted for.
I know.
I felt really bad. Lincoln Riley, how about like believing in defense at some point in your coaching career? Because you can't keep asking a kid to run 400 and throw five touchdowns every game, and then you got to win in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, you know, no, it reduces the coach, not the quarterback.
All right, so first of all, let me say, what exactly is USC doing in a Cotton Bowl? USC should be in a Rose Bowl.
Well,
what is Penn State, which was in the Rose Bowl, doing in the Rose Bowl? Penn State should be in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
CBS should broadcast the Cotton Bowl.
Don't say
NBC
that.
NBC should broadcast the Rose Bowl.
Bosses will get
and
you.
ABC should broadcast the Sugar Bowl. And suddenly ESPN broadcasts
all
everything, but I digress.
Yeah.
I love this game. Tulane. Let me say that again.
Yeah.
Tulane went out and beat the University of Southern California. O.J. Simpson. Marcus Allen. Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush,
don't forget Mike Garrett.
Yeah, Pat Hayden, all right? They beat them. That's that school. Tulane is a school of fine dining and good parties and gumbo, okay? And they beat them, and they came back from 45-30 in the fourth.
Man.
And you're right about, and they were 2-10. This is Tulane.
Yeah.
You're right about Lincoln Riley. Go hire
Get
somebody
defense.
From Kirby Smart.
Right.
Go care Steal about
somebody
it.
Let's from take somewhere one last coaching break. Defense. Man.
Still to come. Number one ranked Purdue loses its perfect season.
They got Caleb Williams back next year. He's going to have to win another Heisman just to get in the finals of something. 17-year-old hockey phenom Connor Bedard is having a World Junior Championship to remember. He would look good in that red sweater. He'd look good in that red sweater in Chicago.
That ending was so great where they reversed the incomplete call and scored a touchdown on
it.
This is Tulane winning this game.
Yeah, hurt.
Come on, man.
It hurt my household.
What are we doing?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 31st birthday, Doug McDermott. Dougie McBuckets, college player of the year in 2014 when he averaged 26.7 points per game, playing for his dad, Greg, at Creighton. Greg McDermott still at Creighton, where his team was ranked as high as number 7 in late November. Doug McDermott was the 11th overall pick in the draft. He's now with San Antonio. Shooting has kept him in the league all this time for 9 seasons and 6 teams. McDermott is a 41% career shooter from 3. This year, coming off the Spurs bench, McDermott is averaging 10.6 points, shooting 48.1% from the field and 43.2% from 3.
Tony, he's got plenty of time to make impact still in his 30s. The guy he essentially replaced in Chicago, I loved him in Chicago, Kyle Korver, was an all-star after 31 and 3 times after 31 led the NBA in 3-point shooting. So, you know, as a blueprint, he's got time, McBuckets.
Yeah.
Hope he does. Like him.
Happy anniversary, Tony Dorsett. On this day 40 years ago, the Cowboys running back set an NFL record for the longest touchdown run from scrimmage, when he went 99 yards for a score against the Vikings, actually taking the handoff 2 yards deep in his own end zone. Obviously, this record will never be broken, and since then, only Derrick Henry has tied it. There have been 13 99-yard pass plays in NFL history. Oddly, the Cowboys' franchise record for most touchdown runs of 30 yards or more in one season, 5, does not belong to Dorsett or Emmitt Smith or Ezekiel Elliott. In fact, it was set this year by Tony Pollard.
Wow, that was a wow. I was watching the game when he did that, Tony. A wow to hear it. But Tony Dorsett, one of the forgotten great backs, at a time when backs were almost as important as quarterbacks to your offense. They got the ball so often, sure, and they broke games open and determined the fate of your team during seasons. Tony Dorsett was that good.
You think he's forgotten? I don't.
People don't talk about him nearly enough.
Well, you and I are talking about him. Happy trails to Purdue's unbeaten season. For the second year in a row, Rutgers knocked off Purdue when Purdue was the number one ranked team. Last year, they did it on a half-court buzzer beater. Yesterday, they did it by 1 point, 65-64 on the road. This stopped the Boilermakers' unbeaten streak at 13. UConn, which was also unbeaten and ranked number two, lost over the weekend to Xavier. So this leaves New Mexico at 14-0, the only unbeaten D1 team. New Mexico is ranked 21st at the moment. I remember many years ago when New Mexico was good. In the early 1960s, they were led by 6'9", 225-pound Ira Harge, who had one of the great nicknames ever, Ira the Large Harge.
A bad weekend in general for the Big Ten. But let me just say this, Tony, about New Mexico. I know I've been in that stadium, in that arena, in the pit, to watch a fairly famous game. It's hard to remember exactly 40 years ago, but weren't you at that game as well?
I did not go to that game. Watch that one on TV. I mean, that's North Carolina State. That's Valvano's game. Yeah, and I remember it was called the Pit. I had never been to that particular site.
Great
but
arena.
I remembered New Mexico. I'm pretty sure their nickname is the Lobos.
Lobos.
And they, you know, they were a good team. And they're ranked 21st now because nobody even knows that they're 14-0. Let's go to the big finish.
Let's do it.
Rafael Devers and the Red Sox agreed to a one-year, $17.5 million deal to avoid arbitration. Is that a big deal?
Well, I mean, the Red Sox have been losing all these terrific players, but 1 year doesn't guarantee you that player for long, so you still wonder what's going to happen. How committed are they? The Bruins beat the Penguins in Fenway to win the Winter Classic. Is that significant?
Here's what's significant about it. I didn't know that was on. I love that outdoor game. I watch that all the time. I didn't know it was on. I feel lousy about that. Let's go, prompter. Move it up. Thank you. Connor Bedard has 21 points through 5 games at the World Junior Championships. Are you impressed?
Yes, of course I'm impressed. I'm going to be even more impressed if he's drafted by the worst team in the NHL, which is how it should happen, right? The best player in the amateur ranks goes to the worst team in the pros. That would be my Chicago Blackhawks. Thank you very much, Cristiano Ronaldo. Introduces the newest member of the Saudi team, Al Nassr. Your thoughts?
It's sports washing. I find it disturbing. Last one, the Carolina Hurricanes are on an 11-game heater. Do they beat the Rangers tonight?
Second best record after the Bruins in the league, but the Rangers are pretty good at 20-12 the sixth time, you know? Yeah, they keep it going. They stay on the heater.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
It's nice to be back. Nice to see you. Glad we do this.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.